Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. I'm Kay Thompson. And we do have a fantastic show for you tonight. And boy, oh boy, is it really, really going to be very interesting. We are going to be talking to Bernard Marsh tonight. And then we are also going to be talking to Allie Willis tonight, artist, writer, prolific writer, producer, musician, singer. She's most famous for a number of songs that she has written and has put out there and produced. And it's a complete performance tonight. We're really tickled about this because of the fact that we're going into the end of the summer months, and we are going to be having a whole lot of exciting new programs. And we are going to be getting right to Allie Willis as soon as we can get her on the air. So, we are going to be talking to her very shortly. We have a lot of topics tonight to talk to her about. Bernard Marsh, as you may have known, you know, is the author of Great White Way, Great White Lie. And he's a writer who wrote that he was researching the racism on Broadway. And he was on before with us, and, you know, he was really revealing a lot of things that we had not known about before. But let me get back to Allie Willis and Hot Topics. We do news information and educational issues and everything exciting, and we do have some exciting things that we have been gathering over the summer months, plus the fact that the whole political situation, you know, the whole thing was done with Trump, is just snowing over everything. It's amazing the kinds of nonsense that's coming out of our politicians. You know, they're calling each other names, and, you know, Donald Trump is incredible. He is absolutely incredible. Every time he's on the air, there's something new, although there's something new, but he's saying the same thing over and over and over again. He has no plan. You don't hear what he can do in any kind of plan with the international scene, with the international countries. Let me see, what are we going to bring in? Okay. So anyway, but there's a lot of interesting things happening. There's so many things that I'm, you know, a little confused. The great white lies. We're getting to...
Did you hear that what Donald Trump was talking about today? Yes. When he was talking about Obama, and he was saying something about his college record?
Yes, that's the thing that I was just looking for. You know, he is now wants to see Obama's college record from college. In fact, apparently, he doesn't believe that he either graduated or attended at Yale or wherever it was that the president, attended. So he is really a piece of work, I'll tell you. And this is what Donald Trump does. And he has no record. He has absolutely no record of doing anything for anyone other than making money and then, you know, losing it. Atlantic City has been just about destroyed under his, I can't say jurisdiction because he's not a, you know, political person. However, he is in politics right now, and he is a disaster. You know, he makes me confused every time, you know, I talk about Donald Trump. He's absolutely amazing. He thinks of one thing that's different than the other, and but there's no plan. There's no plan for him to do anything, and I haven't heard it. I don't know if anybody else has, but I certainly haven't heard it. But anyway, let me get back to the persons that we are going to be talking to. We are also going to be talking to Allie Willis, by the way. She is a writer, and she is a famous writer. She's an artist, a writer, a prolific writer, producer, a musician, a singer, and she is most famous for a whole lot of songs, at least over 50 sing-alongs, I think. And she does complete stage production, from designing you know, to the entire, you know, production. This is an incredible, you know, credentials that she has. And she is a, you know, famous person. As a matter of fact, she wrote, did she write the music to Shaft? Was it Shaft? Yeah, I think so. And then also Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? She's a choreographer, a set designer. She's a creative choreographer. Boogie Wonderful, What to Do with the Color Purple. Yeah, she did. She co-wrote the music for the Color Purple. You know, and she just won a Tony for, you know, okay, known for her part, known for parties, Boogie Wonderful, oh boy, and people that she has worked with, you know, and she's absolutely creative. She's probably one of the most creative performers and writers in the business. So we're going to be talking to her. I think we're going to be having her on about 8 o'clock or shortly after. So we want to be prepared for that. And then the second part of the show, we're going to be talking to, as I said before, Bernard Marsh. We've had Bernard Art on before, and he is going to be talking about the Great White Ways and the Great White Lies in Broadway. And he wants to be talking about, and he is going to be talking about the lack of hiring and difficulties of African Americans, Black performers, have in getting, you know, parts on Broadway. So. And so he says in his book that he has laid all the information out, and you can, in the best way he knows how, and with the memory he says he has left, he said the best thing he can say is taken from the title of a book by Justice Bruce Wright, Black Robes, White Justice. And that was a book by, you know, the Judge Bruce Wright, and I remember reading that when I was on WIBVLS. Great White Way, Great White Lies. The lie can't live forever. So we're going to be talking to Julian again. And there's still a lot of racism going on on the stage. And, you know, we want to talk to him also about the play Hamilton. As you know, Hamilton is very successful, and, you know, the tickets are very expensive. And we're going to be talking about that. As a matter of fact, when I was in Bermuda not too long ago, I met a person, a young man. Hiya.
Hey, Ma, how you
doing? I'm doing fine. So I was talking and telling everybody about Bernard Marsh coming on and about Allie Willis, famous writer, artist. Okay?
Right. Yeah, how you doing, everybody? This is Eric Payne. Let's open up the mic for Wayne Gilman. Hey, Wayne, how you doing?
All right, how's everyone over there? I'm just listening in. I didn't know if anyone saw my number.
Just want to say hello. I'm going to open up the mic. I believe this is my friend Allie Willis. Hey, Allie, is that you?
This is Eric.
Yep, I'm here. I'm here.
Hey, how you doing? How you been? Now, let me give Allie, welcome to the show, the Kay Thompson Live show, with my mother, Kay Thompson. Say hello, Kay.
Hey. All right, how are you?
And say hello to Wayne Gilman, as our other co-host. Wayne, say hello to Allie.
Hi, Allie, how you doing?
All right. Hey, Wayne, how are you?
I gotta give you guys the backstory with me and Allie Willis. When I joined Facebook, I was known as Citizen Payne on there. That was my name on there. And, you know, sometimes on Facebook, anybody who's familiar with Facebook, you know, you have people that get friend requests, and you get a thing listed, say you might know so and so. So I got a friend request one day of someone named Allie Willis, and I didn't know who she was. I was like, who is this lady? But she seemed interesting, so I accepted the friend request. Fast forward to about a year or two later, we were selling the juice Monavi, and the guy that we were selling was a guy named Claude Brooks. And so Claude would have these meetings at his house, you know, his multi-level marketing thing. And in walks Allie Willis. And I said to my friend, Mike Ralph, I said, that lady's on my Facebook. She's one of my Facebook friends. And Allie and I started talking, and we became very good friends. And she lived next door to Claude Brooks at the time.
I do want to clarify, I was there because I lived next door, not because I bought into that juice. show.
Not because of Allie was
at
that.
Great Thursday nights he had at the house.
Oh, yes, we did. We had some fun, and that is the clarification. She was not buying into that stuff. We all bought into the juice. But I went over to Allie's house. She invited us over, hanging out, and I noticed all this memorabilia from Motown and all of this music and stuff. And I was like, and walking in the backyard, and I said, "Oh, you collect the, who are you? you like the Motown Detroit stuff?" And Allie is Motown. She is one of the people who helped make the hits there. And she is from, as the young kids say, Allie, you're from the D, right?
Yes, but however, though, I didn't. I grew up with Motown. I didn't actually write Motown stuff. And as much as I wish that I had written Shaft and What's Going On, none of those either. My very first hit was September by Earth, Wind & Fire. And then I wrote a ton of Earth, Wind & Fire, Boogie Wonderland, In the Stone, stuff. So I've sold, my songs have sold over 60 million records. I have a Grammy for Beverly Hills Cop. I wrote the theme to Friends, the TV series. Got a lot of stuff. Neutron Dance, Pointer Sisters, and the, right now the Tony winning musical, The Color Purple.
Right. And so you see, Allie Willis is a music icon, a music legend. And
that's right.
I was just walking through your house, noticing that you had all this stuff here, and I was like, hey, well, this is kind of cool. And so we became good friends, and it was just, you know, sometimes it's destiny, you know, when you meet people. Because I didn't know that, you know, when you reached out to me and I asked you, and you said, well, you seemed interesting. Citizen Dane seemed interesting. So you reached out.
Yeah.
And it was just, kind of destiny sometimes for people to be friends.
I know the reason Claude wanted you to come over originally, because I remember there was a whole group of people that came over. Was because I have a massive vintage African American memorabilia collection, but mostly from the kind of Black is Beautiful period. Not early stuff, no Sambos, Mammies, nothing like that. I used to work with James Brown, and he was the one that told me I have to keep collecting all the stuff that I was collecting from like the 1960s, 1970s, because, you know, back in the day there was no money to distribute these products, you know. So, you know, maybe like a game like African American History Mystery or Slang-a-Lang. Like if it was made in Detroit, it wouldn't get distributed farther than Cleveland. So,
right.
As a promise to the Godfather, I just kept going. So, and I haven't stopped.
And there it is. You can imagine me walking around her house. I'm saying, "Hey, lady, what are you doing with all this?" You know, and I don't think that, you know, some of the group that would come over to your house, because after a minute, some people weren't invited to Allie's house. I mean, I was invited to an actual party to your house. That you had, where I met Sybil Shepherd, the actress, the great actress. Sybil Shepherd is a friend of Allie's, and a bunch of other ton of interesting people and artists that we've seen over the years. So some of the people really didn't, they really didn't value, you know, I valued a lot of the similar things that Allie does. So obviously she wasn't too thrilled with inviting some of the people over to come to her house, you know, and this is where she creates this incredible music. You know, you talk about all of the Earth, Wind, and Fire songs that you mentioned are songs from my teenage years growing up. So I'm very familiar with some of those stuff. So you have a project. I don't know if Wayne,
one of them, September, I mean, that song literally gets bigger every single year. It's had a totally different life than most songs. It just gets bigger and bigger every year. So, it's in two movies that are out right now. I mean, it just keeps going. So that makes me pretty happy.
Wow. Now, Wayne, I'm sure you have, being the legendary newsman that you have, you might have some things you want to talk to Allie about.
I tell you, I'm so fascinated by the conversation so far. You know, it is amazing to, first of all, it's considered an honor and a pleasure to meet you. And Boogie Wonderland was one of my favorites, you know, back in the day. And September is a classic. You know, we just recently lost the lead singer from
Maurice
White.
Yeah, brilliant.
Right, you know? Yeah, sad, but
he and Verdeen, you know, discovered me. They gave me the break of a lifetime. I mean, when they asked me to write, and they asked me to write the entire next I Am album, that's what Boogie Wonderland was on.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I was on food stamps at the time. So, I mean, they seriously gave me a break.
Does it take you to get into the business? I mean, I guess you've seen the transition that has gone on over the series of years because, radio, which is my background, it's not the same. I'm assuming, and the funny thing is, when I think of, I just recently attended a funeral for one of my former colleagues, Vaughn Arthur. I don't know if you know. He was at WBLS for a number of years. And I ran into a whole plethora of record company people who now, 10, 20 years later, are doing other things because the record business isn't the same. I'm assuming it's the same deal in terms of getting products like what you produce on the air.
Well, I'm in a whole other category than most, I would say 99.9% of music people. I got into technology very, very early. I was literally the first artist ever to prototype a social network in 1993. My partner at that point was Mark Cuban. I was the first artist ever to address Congress on cyberspace. So I am someone who, starting in 1991, was going around to record companies going, you know, this is coming. You guys got to change. So no one paid any attention. They all thought we were nuts. I mean, you know, no one would, you know, could believe that I was giving up a lucrative songwriting career to go after the internet, which they all thought was, you know, a passing, you know, fade. So I'm not at all typical of someone from my generation of music who is kind of horrified at what's going on now. I think it's completely inevitable. And, you know, this is what happens as technologies progress. And the first things that are going to get hit are things that can be stored digitally, you know. Now with that said, you know, did I love the old days? Yes, it was very simple. You write it, it gets cut. It's either a hit, it's not, you know. But I am someone, I've always functioned outside the industry, you know, other than since my earliest days. I've never really been a part of the industry. I'm a completely independent artist. So, I can see both sides of all arguments, I guess is what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
But I do think it's inevitable what's happening, and it's going to change even more. And the whole thing about technology today is, you know, you can get involved with it or not, and if you do, you can shake up a whole lot of things. You know,
interesting.
I know
interesting.
You weren't expecting that answer, but that's what it is.
No, but that's good to hear. I mean, that, you know, I'm sorry I skipped class back then because I didn't see it coming. I mean, to a certain extent, I knew there would be changes, but as I look back now, that's like the Stone Age. You know, the things that we used to do, for instance, I'd read 5-6 newspapers a day. Everything's on the internet, you know?
Yeah.
It was bound to happen. But I, the thing is monetizing what you produce on the internet is the issue, you know, that I
Absolutely. And without question, I don't think music is treated fairly, especially songwriters, because without songwriters, there's nothing. You've got nothing to sing. And, you know, a lot of the things that do manage to trickle down don't make it all the way to the songwriter. So, you know, I mean, I'll tell you, the whole thing of life, I think, is you got to love what you're doing. You have to figure out ways to, you know, keep yourself happy. That is the goal of everything. So a lot of people who are jumping into music because they think that's where the money is, that's a miserable existence. But if you love what you're, you know, doing, you are blessed that you get to be, you know, surrounded by music and vibes all day. And you just really have to figure out, you know, if you are in it for the money or you just need to make a living, you really need to figure out how to do it because no one's going to hand it to you. But the main thing is just be happy. You know, some people are really happy forging new territory and some people are happy just following. But, you know, I think more and more today, it's really important that you know yourself because, you know, you have thousands of options now, not just two. So it's really up to you to carve out your life.
Was there a time that you were not taken seriously as a woman?
Always. I don't think I realized it so much at the time, but, you know, certainly with the amount of songs I was getting cut, I mean, there were years in a row where I was selling over 10 million records a year, and the guys around me would have one kind of hit, and all of a sudden they would be producers. The girls remain songwriters. You know, my thing, though, I think more had to do, you know, on the issue of being taken seriously or not, more having to do with being a multimedia artist so early on, because if you were, if you were in music, you were in music. I was someone who also painted, I built sets, I directed, I animated, I jumped into the technology very early, and I was always trying to put all those things together. And it really wasn't until, I would say, the last decade where being a multimedia artist is really an accepted thing as opposed to you really need to be one thing. So I think I felt more resistance there. But then again, if I were a guy, maybe, you know, I would have been given that chance earlier. Who knows? You know? So, not sure. But I think I was affected more by it than I realized I was.
Right. Allie, also, too, you know, I want to let people know, you know, Allie says she's a multimedia artist, which she is. I'm sorry, that's my phone that I haven't turned down the volume. But, you know, when you go to Allie's house, it's an artist's house.
Yeah.
She says she paints, she builds sets, and you go to her house, and as an artist, you're inspired by the creativity that you're surrounded by. And for me being there, you know, a lot of the other people, you know, it kind of went over their head or they weren't really paying attention. But for me there, it was an inspiring environment to be in. I always like talking to Allie and you know, the Thursday nights we would have with the juice and stuff like that, that was the beginning. And, of course, Allie would always come at the end when the actual presentation was over because you wasn't trying to hear none of that stuff, you know?
No, I didn't need to hear any of that. But I wish he would get on. I mean, I don't want him to do the juice again, but I missed those Thursday night things. That was a really good run.
We had a whole lot of fun over there, and it was just – you know, as an artist, you're inspired by other artists.
Yeah.
And I was inspired being in her company and being in her space. And so that was really the
fun
thing.
Well, thank you. I had a great time with you, too. So, and hence we're talking. So there you go.
Yeah. So we want to do that. But Mom, you wanted to ask Ellie what she's doing now and what currently is going on?
What are you doing now?
Yeah. Personally, I feel like I'm at my most exciting point in my career. First of all, with Color Purple being back on Broadway, and this time it really exploding, that's been thrilling. My big thing personally
is that I always wanted to perform, but I never did. I was too scared. And I started again literally after decades a few years ago, and I had an incredible time, but there was another project I was working on that I realized I was going to have to stop performing and just concentrate on it. So that project, which I'll tell you about, that I finally finished. So I'm at the point now I need to put it out. And I've also started performing again. And I just did a whole series of sold-out shows in Los Angeles. I'm doing my very first New York shows in a couple months. So, and my shows, they are not normal songwriter shows. I do all the songs as sing-alongs because everyone knows the song, so I don't want the pressure on me singing. I do thrift shop auctions in the middle of it. You win prizes. You can win foot massages in the middle of the show. I mean, it's a really, really funny show filled with good songs. And then I wrote a song for Detroit. This is the project I told you about. And I'm from Detroit, and I love Detroit. And I was so sick of what everyone was saying about it. And I went back and I recorded it at a series of 60 sing-alongs all over the city with anyone who wanted to be on the record. So it's more people on a record than ever before in history, 5,000 lead singers on a song very much written kind of in the mold of September, because that's such a happy song. And it's an expression of pride. I would love it to be like what New York, New York was to New York. So I'm working on putting a premiere for that together. So between that and the personal performances, that's what I'm really trying to concentrate on doing now. I'd like to have like a radical change up every, 5 to 10 years. So I feel like I'm kind of in the middle of the biggest one now. So we'll see.
How soon will that Detroit record come out?
I have to figure out really how to put it out, but I'm shooting for a spring release. And that would tie into a big premiere in Detroit, but I want the premiere in Detroit. It's more than a record. It's a little micro documentary music video that goes along with it, and I do everything on it, edit it, animate it, produce it, everything. It's a completely handmade project that I work with only one or two other people on. And, we had to mix down over 5,000 tracks, over 20,000 hours of footage. So, but I want the premiere to kind of be as groundbreaking as the record is. So I'm really trying to figure out a big multimedia event I can pull off now.
When you're ready, I'd like to. I have family in Detroit that are knee deep in the promotion publicity business, and perhaps I could.
That's who I need to know without question.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, if you go to my website, you'll see a link for the D right on the front page. And my website is just alliewillis.com, and Allie is spelled a little oddly. It's A-L-L-E-E-W-I-L-L-I-S, alliewillis.com. I need to know all those kind of people in Detroit.
Right. Yeah. It seems like today it's important to have a brand or a platform in which to launch your material from. I mean, has that been your experience? I know, as you mentioned, with the internet, you're really an independent producer. Even though I've been aware of what's going on, please forgive my ignorance. I have a little cousin who's been successful. And just 2 weeks ago, I found out the importance of an Instagram. We were walking down Brooklyn the other day, and we got in front of Spike Lee's shop in Fort Greene. And she said, stand next to me. I'll show you the importance of this picture. and the two of us took pictures together. And I was going to put it on my account, and I didn't realize, you know, just a simple thing of being associated with a picture provides the platform to generate a product. You know, I mean, I never looked at life that way, and I guess, you know, seeing what I'm hearing from you, you're light years ahead of the rest of us, to say. I mean, with all due respect to Eric Payne and the family.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know, the thing with all those is, I mean, that, so, if, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, so they're all very established now. Yes, you need to have a presence on all of it, but how much, you know, it really then again gets down to, you know, I know people whose life is ruled by, I haven't tweeted in an hour, you know, oh my God, I have to, you know, bother everyone at lunch so we take these pictures. I, you know, it's got to go up on Instagram. I think, I have battled with it for years because I understand the importance of all of it. You know, it's great tools and they all drive me completely nuts. You know, because you know, in a way you have to do it, and in another way, for me, I find it a complete intrusion. So I think you just have to, you know, get to the point where you find where, you know, how much of it is going to make you happy, but to ignore it completely is foolish because it's here, and it is how everyone judges you, you know, like it or not.
Right,
but I think it's up to you to decide how much you are going to incorporate it into whatever you do. And again, I always come down to, you know, do you enjoy it or not? If you enjoy it, go for it. If you don't, figure out what's necessary and only do that.
And Eric, also, you know, it's so important for us people in the entertainment business to hear this information that you have because you've lived it. You know, and you have so much experience and work of art, you know.
Yeah, I still struggle with it, though. I still struggle with it as much as anyone else because it drives me crazy that I have to do it a lot of times. And then, you know, when I remain in rebellion and, you know, I stay away from it for a few days, I still feel like, oh, God, you better get something together today. You better take a good picture together today. So, you know, I mean, these things, too, will pass. I don't think we're going to be sitting here 3 years from now talking about Instagram and Twitter. However, it will be replaced by whatever that next thing is. And Snapchat, I truly hate. And that's what I've managed to, you know, not deal with, even though it's very important that you deal with it. But I'm very into archiving. I want a record of everything. That was a lot of my fascination with the internet, was that you were leaving this big footprint of yourself. So something that disappears after 10 seconds, that's not of interest to me anyway. However, you know, it's something that's very important in the culture. So it's really to each his own how much you let it you know, are you controlling it or is it controlling you? I mean, I guess that's the big issue.
What kind of information do you have for young artists wanting to
see it? Wait, I'm having trouble hearing.
I'm sorry?
I couldn't hear what someone was
saying. What kind of information can you give the artists who are new to the business and want to be, you know, really involved on a basic level of getting into the business?
Well, again, I'm not the one who can give solid information on how you get a record cut and all of that. It's really just perseverance. I'm the one who's more of a cheerleader for if you are filled with the passion and you absolutely love music or you absolutely love acting or whatever it is, in the arts, you know, pursue that because that will make you happy. But certainly in this day and age, there's no golden ticket to getting discovered or to getting your songs cut. So you better love what you're doing. Otherwise, you're chasing a dream like a trillion other people, and it doesn't usually end up good.
Right. And also, too, Allie, you know, just to piggyback on that, that's what we find a lot, you know, in Los Angeles. People come to Los Angeles because they want to be stars, they want to do this.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're not into it like Allie says. You have to – this has to be something that's inside of you.
Yeah.
That you have to – that's the way you express yourself, your creativity. That's my art. This is – I have to get this out, and I would do this for free because this is something that's inside of me. And, you know, when you meet people that are creative, like Allie and other people, the creativity is just jumping out of them, and it jumps out and it manifests itself in different ways, whether it be painting, music, acting, dance, or whatever. And a lot of people come, you know, the interesting thing about Hollywood is it's the business of entertainment, and that's where you kind of get bogged down when it has to become a business and people have to create on demand, so to speak. It's part of the reason why you have TV shows that have staffs of writers, because one person can't create within a week, have a time period to come up with a whole TV show, so you need several different brains working, and that's what you're expressing, Allie, if I can piggyback off them. If I'm correct in feeling you as another artist, that it has to be something you have to love, because, like you're saying, people don't come in expecting you're going to be famous overnight, you're going to be making money overnight and do all that, because it might not happen, and you're going to be very disappointed if that's all you have. You want to say more?
And I think the other thing is, if you don't really love it, then you are just in this constant kind of hamster wheel of going around and chasing a hit. And that's a really miserable way to live, especially nowadays where so many people are pursuing it. It takes in many ways less skill and less connections than it used to. And there's always going to be someone right behind you. So if you aren't doing it for the love, that's not a career that I would want, because it's psychologically really, you get hammered.
Yeah.
You know,
I always say that if you want something badly enough, you feel it. You visualize it, you eat it, you taste it, you feel it, and then you just go for it. You just jump out there and do yourself, go through really, because you know that you're visualizing what you want to do.
Yeah, and the other thing I would throw into this discussion is, a lot of times what you go for, what you think you're going for, doesn't end up being that path that you end on. You know, well, maybe you didn't get that gig, but they may remember you for the next thing they're doing. Or maybe you thought you were going to be a writer, but you ended up being an actor. You just don't know. But if you have passion and you're enjoying what you're doing, you're also open to what may come your way. And I think the vibe about you attracts people differently than when someone is desperate to make it, desperate to get that record cut, desperate to get that part. You can smell it a mile away, and it's not that attractive if you're really, people who are maybe, on the high end doing the hiring. You want the inspirational talent. You don't want the one who wants it so bad they're going to kill themselves if they don't get it,
And it's also got to enjoy the journey.
For a bank loan and your credit is shot. I don't mean to put in those terms.
Welcome to that party. I know that one very well.
Yeah. Of course, we're a lot of us, yes.
It's also about enjoying the journey. I mean, people, the artist, the journey that you go on as an artist, It's that gets you, when you get to that point that you're shooting for, you relish the success of it a lot more because you enjoy the journey. The journey
absolutely
of the creativity, the rehearsal.
The people that you get to meet, it sounds like a trite thing to say that it's the journey, but it's the total truth. It is so much more about the journey than the destination, because all you have right now is the journey.
Wow.
All you ever have is the journey. So,
right.
You know, again, enjoy it. And if you're blessed enough to be an artist, that opens you up to incredible experiences and really creative people. And, you know, it's kind of experiences that a lot of people never, ever get to have, to be, you know, in a crowd of people like that. So I would just say cherish it and really figure yourself out and know what motivates you and what makes you happy, and then just go for it.
If I might, I hate to interrupt. How do you protect yourself with the internet in terms of intellectual property and stuff like that?
Honestly, you don't, and you just pray, and you hope enough people tell you when your stuff is being used. I mean, I rarely know when people cut my songs, like songs that have been out already where someone doesn't have to get permission to be the first person who does it. So I rarely know when they're being used on TV or anything. And that's one place for me where Facebook has been great, because people say, oh, I saw your show on your song on Jimmy Kimmel last night. But then I have to go and hire someone to track down whether I've been paid or not. And, of course, there's no, like, chance to negotiate. So it is just a constant thing of, you know, it's the Wild West on the internet, and you just got to try and protect yourself as best you can. But the general rule of thumb is someone will try and steal it, usually, before they go through, you know, legit channels to license something.
Right.
Wow.
Does the union protect you at all?
I don't have a union. There's no songwriter union. So, no one is protecting you. You are completely on your own. Old days, we used to have publishing deals.
Right.
But also in the old day, the publishers would also hook you up with other writers and artists. And that doesn't happen anymore. Publishers now are just like bookkeepers.
Yes.
You know?
What about The Color Purple? What was your part in The Color Purple?
Myself, Brenda Russell, and Stephen Bray wrote all of the music and lyrics, and the show is about 85% music and lyrics. And our book writer was Marcia Norman, who also won a Pulitzer Prize. And we worked on it for, we wrote for 5 years straight. And, you know, I'm as proud of it as I've been of anything I've ever done.
Now, this is the second, is this a reprisal? Because The Color Purple came out some years ago, and now it's come back to Broadway. Am I correct in that, Ali?
However, both shows were our show. However, this one was interpreted, even though it's the exact same music, exact same lyrics, exact same dialogue, it was interpreted completely different by the director, whereas the one that opened 10 years ago was more of a traditional Broadway show. There were tons of sets, and there were 161 costume changes. This, there is nothing. It is stripped down, raw, the emphasis strictly on music, lyrics, dialogue, characters, and it completely exploded. The New York Times reviewer, who the first time around gave us kind of a mediocre review. I mean, we were a hit. We ran on Broadway for 3 years. It toured forever. But this time it was called A Miracle on Broadway. And, you know, again, we won the Tony, whereas the first time around, you know, we were overlooked. So I think that the way that we wrote the show is the way that it's being performed now, and it's allowed people to see the show in a completely different way than when it opened first 10 years ago. So we feel like kind of it's the first time people have actually seen what it is that we wrote. So we're just thrilled. We never thought we'd have a second chance. So it is kind of a miracle.
Right. I'm just curious how that second chance came about, because, you know, you said 10 years ago, and it's not often that shows are, I guess you could call it a revival or a different rendition, but within that time span, it's usually a longer time span, correct?
Yeah, it came back faster than any Broadway show ever has. That's another thing. This very incredible director named John Doyle did a production of it at a small theater. It's just like a 200-seat theater in London. And it starred Cynthia Erivo, who's now, you know, we brought over to star on Broadway. And it got such outrageous reviews in London, and that's also where the New York Times reviewer saw it, the unbeknownst to us, and he printed a retraction in the New York Times to his original review. So they brought the director over, they brought the lead actress over, and Oprah, who had produced both versions of it, she had been talking to Jennifer Hudson for about a year, that she should probably do Broadway. So when this came up, she convinced her to play Shug Avery. And, you know, these days it's very hard to open on Broadway without a major star. So, you know, we had Jennifer, and she did a great job. And, you know, the rest is history. And then it also stars, Jennifer left, and she was replaced by the brilliant Heather Headley, who is my favorite singer. Yeah, she's like my favorite singer in the world. She's incredible. And Cynthia Erivo, who won Best Actress this year, the Tony, and Danielle Brooks from Orange is the New Black. She plays Tacy in Orange is the New Black. And she's our Sophia. So it's really exciting.
You just mentioned Brenda Russell a moment ago. Is that the Brenda Russell who had the hit?
Yeah.
What is she doing these days?
Color Purple. I mean, you know, we're both doing that. And she does a lot of appearances. She lives in Austin now. We go back like forever. We have been together like forever.
Wow.
And she was really incredible. And then when you go back with someone so far and then you get to share an experience like The Color Purple, it's just like the greatest thing ever, you know. So
part of the description that my sister wrote for the show was a little bit about what is Donald Trump thinking. So I got to ask you, just so we can cover our description for the show, also have you, what do you think? I probably know what you think about someone like Donald Trump.
This week, of course, everyone is finally saying it, but from the beginning, I think that we are literally watching a narcissist madman who is this type of person anyway is incredibly dangerous. And the fact that he has unleashed the anger and attracted the people who he's attracted, who it doesn't matter what he does, they will not support him. I just think it is expose this underbelly of ugliness in this country. But I think he's a disturbed individual who has always been incredibly wealthy, and no one has ever called him to task, you know, because they all want to be associated with him. So now it's starting to unravel. And just as a student of pop culture, at the beginning I was kind of entertained by all of it, but now it's just completely horrifying to me, you know.
Yeah.
And there's people like him in all fields, a lot of people who reach the top who, you know, behind your backs are saying, oh, they're crazy, and you really mean they're crazy, but no one challenges them because they're sitting up there. But I think once you are playing with a country's status in the world and you can press that button, you know, he used two of my songs. I got a lot of there's a lot of articles out about me trying to stop him from using my songs. And you can't really stop him. But, you know, someone like that, most people would think to ask, is it okay if I use this song to endorse myself? But he just takes. And, you know, whether he's certainly not going to get he's not going to get the presidency now. I mean, I think enough people think he's nuts. But
You're sure?
No. Well, anything can happen. Anything can happen. So, you know. But, you know, it's a sad day when that immoral of behavior gets glorified and accepted. And, you know, also typical of the technological age, though, because all of a sudden everyone has a voice. And when you can hide and someone doesn't see who it is that you're online and saying all these horrible things about someone, he has just tapped into all the frustration of people whose lives weren't especially together. And I just think it's a dangerous path for humanity. You know, it's beyond the United States. We are on a dangerous path for humanity.
And you said something very prolific, the anonymity, the anonymous nature of the Internet. Because, like you said, there's people that could be anonymous and say the most horrible things about people. I mean, when I first started getting on YouTube, and we're just, you know, because I'm into the technology too, and it was a whole new world for me, but in looking at videos and stuff, and just see that some of the vitriol that some people would spew just from a racial or just a mean standpoint, just because they could.
Oh, yeah.
And they could be relatively anonymous. You know, the people don't put their pictures, usually these people don't put their pictures up, you know, who they are, and they'll say these terrible things about people. It really is, it really struck me as that how some people are really just mean-spirited and take an opportunity like that to be anonymous or to say things about people. I'm reminded of some of the nasty things that were said about Leslie, I forget the last name. I think it's Leslie Jones, the black woman that's in Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah, I almost brought.
Oh
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just unbelievable. Where you know, you literally drive someone to just go, that's it, I quit, because you have so many maladjusted people who are getting off by hurling these insults that have nothing to do with anything other than their own lack of self-worth. And that just drives me crazy. You know, it's like mental illness on parade.
We got another caller. We got one other caller. Go ahead, caller. What do you want to say? I think we could recognize this caller.
I just want to say this. Hello?
That's Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hey.
Hi, Allie. I'm glad you called.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you? We couldn't wait to hear about all the stuff that you've done. I've been talking about you all week, and all the awards and all the music and everybody. They need to see the person behind all the magic.
That's right. So I'm sure you feel the same about Donald Trump.
Oh, yes, of course. And I love when you told them to stop using your music.
Oh, God. Which, of course, did nothing. He only went on using more. But, no, I mean, you got to at least say something. You don't want anyone to think, God forbid, you endorse this person.
Exactly. And he's running out of people's songs. You know, I think.
You know what? I was just watching, though. I saw he did he gave a speech today in Jacksonville, Florida, and the Rolling Stones, who immediately asked them to stop using You Can't Always Get What You Want, which is an insane song, by the way, for him to be using. He doesn't even listen to the lyrics, but he played it again today. Yeah, no, he played it again about an hour ago. So it's like he just doesn't care. People like that, this is what people need to understand. He is stone cold, well, certainly a narcissist, probably a sociopath. He doesn't sit there and go, oh, I'm really disappointing that person, or, oh, I'm going to hurt this person by saying it. They don't have those kind of feelings. It is a very clinical, thing. It's like you talk to a sociopath, who unfortunately I've had enough dealings with, and you go, how could they possibly say those things? But they don't feel the way that a quote-unquote normal person feels. They think they're entitled to things, and then his thing is complicated by all that money. So then you have a monster on the loose.
That's very true. Allie, we're coming up to about 2 minutes, so we're going to have to let you go, but I want you to promise to come back on again.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And talk to us, and next time you come to New York, we're going to have to hook up and hang out a little bit.
Oh, yes, and I'm performing in New York. Lisa, make sure and give me Eric's info so I can let him know. Yeah, I'm going to be there in November, so yeah.
Oh,
yeah, we're going to. Yeah, we're all going to come out to see your show. Allie Willis, my friend, was my Facebook friend, now my artist friend and inspiration. Thank you so much for coming on and also writing the songs to my teenage years. I'll leave it at that because there was some good, great music, as a matter of fact.
Thank you, Allie.
And one of our favorite
All right, thank you all. I enjoyed talking to everyone.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.
All
right,
thank you.
Bye.
Allie
Willis,
everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And we're coming down to, just about 90 seconds left, and Wayne Gilman is still on. Wayne, thank you for being on.
Here.
And thank you for listening. I really enjoyed that, didn't you?
Yeah, it was fascinating. It's an honor and a pleasure to meet her. You meet people who are behind the scenes and with the creative talent. Sometimes you look at something, you really don't know who's the engine and the force behind it, and she has a very interesting career. And I'd love to meet her one day. I would love to attend one of her concerts in New York,
We just have about 50 seconds more. Anyway, we're going to be signing off. Kay Thompson Live with Eric Kane, with Lisa Payne, with the Reverend Wayne Gilman on Kay Thompson Live on every Wednesday from 8 to 9. Thanks to Allie. Well, it's fantastic.
And Wayne, you want to say goodbye real quick to your people?
Goodbye. I don't know. I just hope Donald Trump continues to self-destruct.
That's right. Right on. There it is from the legendary newsman, Wayne Gilman. Talk to you next week, Wayne. Thank you very much.
All the best, Eric. Lisa and Sam.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Thank you. Bye, Lisa. Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye. Lisa Payne. Thank you to Kay Thompson Live Show on blogtalkradio.com/KayThompsonLive every Wednesday at 8 to 9 p.m. All the show is archived so you can listen to it at any time. I'm Eric Payne, the co-host. Bye-bye, everybody.
Yeah, that's cool.